Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
What our limitations are, God didn't ask us to be physical. He asked us to be spiritual. So even if you're confined to a wheelchair, your ministry then isn't going to be, hey, I want you to go enter the marathon and run and then give the glory to God. That's not going to be your call. You only got to be faithful to your call, what God's given you, and you can run that strong. It's all in the way you respond to life. The way you react, people will see you. And when they see you trusting God, they'll give glory to God, or God will be glorified.
God calls you to run your race with endurance. That can seem impossible when you're faced with suffering in this world, but God's commands are His enablements. When He asks you to complete a task, He will always give you the tools necessary to do it. Today, Pastor Troy reminds you that the way you run your race has an eternal impact. The way you respond to difficulties will be seen by others. When you respond to your suffering by proclaiming that God is good, you can plant a seed of faith in others. Now here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 9 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Jesus does some things in our lives that are hard, maybe hard to take, but they're the only thing that's going to open our eyes. They're the only things that are going to change this old heart. They're going to help us in life. And we need to trust Him when He spits in the dirt. Or when He just says it instead of touches us. Or, you know, He doesn't do it our way. He still knows what He's doing. And let me tell you, the Lord has a purpose in everything that He does. So the guy goes and washes in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent, washed and came back seeing. There was action on his part. Suffering brings action, doesn't it? It brings movement. It brings the questions. It says, all right, we're going to change some things. We can't just lollygag through life anymore. Some would rather stand around and argue about theology than act personally. Some would rather argue about the philosophy, or should we not, you know, what's this and this and that, and just kind of debate words rather than acting compassionately. To Jesus, this man wasn't an illustration, and that's it. You've been blind your whole life, sorry about it, but you're my illustration. He was a man born in the world, in a sinful world, a world with bacteria and things that cause blindness and illness and death. And in this moment, Jesus had compassion on a man who was before Him. Instead of getting stuck on the theological reasoning or philosophy that the disciples were asking about, who sinned did this? No one sinned did this, but so that God could be glorified. God's going to be glorified in this man's life the way that He is. And sometimes we can get so caught up on the theology of things that we forget to just act on them, to just have compassion. There's something that we're prone to today called compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue. What that is we're wore out on letting our heart be affected by compassion. Because we see it so much. Because we're not just around our little circle where we only hear the things that happen close to home. We hear about things all over the globe, all over the United States, everywhere. And so this person died, and that person, and this happened in the news. And there's so many bad things happening to people, or to innocent people, that we sort of, well, it's kind of like this. These people died, and then three children were murdered, and then the bus went off, and two of the players are dead, and their parents are mourning, but our football team won. Hey, Bob, take on the sports. Like, wow, oh man, we're just shifting so fast from, okay, some bad things happened. Oh, bummer for them. Oh, our team won. Yeah. Hey, what are the odds? Hey, did you have fantasy football? And then we've moved on and we've lost our sense of compassion because there's so many opportunities for it. I think that's one of the numbing effects that our being inundated with the media has done to us. It's numbed us to the need to have compassion because there's so many opportunities. Hey, you ministering to someone? Yeah, there's this ministry out there, man. I've been given online. We don't have to touch anything, get dirty, see anything, and I've had compassion. And guys, as a church, we got to get back to having compassion, acting in love. We've got sickness right here in this church. We've got individuals who are struggling about some of the whys. Why did we lose our child? Why did this happen? Right here in this small fellowship. God, help us. If we've got more compassion for the world out there than we have for those nearest to us here, we need to know each other. We need to be compassionate toward one another, forgiving. None of us are perfect. And that's why we gather together. That's why we should gather together, so that we can pray with each other, know about each other, encourage each other, because there are going to be some hard days. There's going to be a drunk person who kills somebody, and it's going to be someone that we know. And we want to be able to show them that we care. So, suffering brings action. And there's nothing like suffering ourselves that helps us to realize, I need to be more compassionate to others. Now I see what it's like to be on this side of suffering. So suffering brings action. We need to be aware of this condition, the compassion fatigue, and we need to pray against it. We need to be compassionate. We need to have action in our life, reaching out, ministering. It doesn't take much. It just takes saying, I'll be there. Hey, if you need someone to pray with, I'm here. Anything. Jesus was practical. He said, let's not debate. I got to roll up my sleeves and get to work while it's day. Now notice Jesus had a sense of urgency about him also. While it is day, I must work. Evening comes. So I need to get to work now. We cannot delay. Now I don't know how much time each of us has, but we cannot afford to waste it. We only have a limited amount of it, each one of us. None of us knows when our number is up. Sometimes we become aware of that which might take our lives, but we never know. We could go out today and get hit by a bus. We don't know. One thing we do know is we can't waste our life on things that have no eternal value. You guys know anything about a snooze button? Thank God for the snooze button. Well, the snooze button that God has given us, I think, is suffering. Suffering happens all around us. It keeps popping up. It doesn't let us just walk like life is perfect. I'm okay. Don't let me in. I just want to enjoy my life. No, suffering comes up. The reality of life hits. People die. People are hurt. People are taken advantage of. So suffering happens, and it's like God's little snooze alarm. Boop. The end is coming. Life is short. Make sure you value it. And it should be, it can be, a constant reminder that this life is not the end. And we need to invest wisely in this life. Invest the things that God says are important. Suffering brings action. We have some great witnesses in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all those who had gone before, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Whatever that race is, let's run. And it doesn't matter what you feel like your lot in life is, we never slow down in this race, we only finish strong. Well, but when we get older, you know, when you think about a track, If you get older, you slow down. That's true. But in God's race, we never slow down. We're supposed to be growing in wisdom. Yes, we can't do some of the physical things that we used to do. That's when we got wisdom. Work smarter, not harder. And then you start to show the younger ones, here's what you need to do. Go get it, sonny. And so we are able to pour into the next generation and help them. But no matter what our limitations are, God didn't ask us to be physical. He asked us to be spiritual. So even if you're confined to a wheelchair, your ministry then isn't going to be, hey, I want you to go enter the marathon and run and then give the glory to God. That's not going to be your call. You only got to be faithful to your call, what God's given you. And you can run that strong. It's all in the way you respond to life, the way you react. People will see you. And when they see you trusting God, they'll give glory to God, or God will be glorified. So since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race God has given us. He's not giving it to someone else. He's given it to us, and we can finish strong. And one day we're going to be with him. We'll all reach the finish line. You see, with suffering in this world, our action as believers right now is to proclaim the good news. God is good. But you're suffering. Yes, but I won't be one day. Let me tell you about the good news. God is good. Have you thought about eternity? Have you thought about what happens after life? Have you thought about why I can face even death and go, you know what? God is good. How do you do that?
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the Solid Rock.
So, suffering brings action. Verse 8. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. A fourth thing to consider today about suffering. Suffering challenges expectations. Our expectations of life, but also the others' expectations of us. Without hope beyond this life, if we were reduced to some form of suffering for some reason, it would be a just cause to be bitter in this life. I mean, if there is no heaven, no life after this, and this is what I got to live with, that'd be a cause for bitterness. But God is able to reveal himself through suffering. Suffering challenges the expectations of the world. You know, no one ever expected this man to be anything but a beggar his whole life. But Jesus touched his life, intervened, and everything changed. And this man will exceed all expectations ever given him, even his own expectations of himself. Some believe that we are what we are. A man can never change. We can only do what we can do. Now, that is true. We can't change ourselves, but God can change us. And here's a sad reality. I've heard Christians say, well, people don't change. People can't change. You're right. People can't change themselves, but God changes people. We can always be the old us. The old us is still in there. With all of our experiences and with all of our hurts and with all of our complainings, we're in there. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and the new man is given life, we are able to, instead of bickering and complaining and whining and grumbling, which is the old nature, we're able to go, look, God's got a purpose for my life. I don't have time for that. I got a mission that God's got me about. And we're able to do that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Christian should never make excuses for why they can't do something. Because if God asks, we can. We can do it. His calling is His enabling. When the Lord touches a life, He can use that life beyond even our own expectations. It challenges us. We could allow the Lord to do so much more in our life if we would only stop making excuses and let Jesus have us. If we would just stop making the excuses, everything back there can't keep being an excuse. You can't keep bringing it up as an excuse. It happened. Those things happened. Yes, you've got some stuff on your record. Okay, what is God asking you to do? Because you can do that. And they don't have to be an anchor or an excuse. You anchor yourself to the Lord and you follow after Him. And He only asks you to do what He's enabled you to do. You can do it. And so we need to get rid of all the excuses. Listen to the Lord and do what He says to do. Suffering challenges expectations because we can do more. Speaking of Israel's stubbornness, because God wanted to use them as a light to the nations. He says, I've called you a light to the nations. I want people to look at you and be able to see me and glorify me. But look at what the psalmist wrote. Psalm 78, verse 40 and 41. How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. His will, His desire was to do so much more with their lives, with them as a nation, but they wouldn't have it. The grumblings, the complainings, the desiring and lusting after the gods of the nations around them were all excuses that caused their stumbling. A person who continues to make excuses and continues to complain and see the negative on everything is a person who is digging their own grave. They're anchored to their own grave. There can be no life in them. But when we do away with the excuses and we put our life in God's hands, let Him use us the way He wants to, the sky is the limit. God will instill purpose in our hearts and we will live better at the end of our life than we ever lived at the beginning. We'll live better during the failings of our health than when we had all of it. Suffering challenges expectations and can cause us to exceed them. Some of you may be looked at by others as not ever having the potential to be any different than you are right now. Like the man born blind, right? They didn't have any expectations of him that he'd ever be anything more than a blind beggar. But then Jesus touched his life and he was never the same. When you let Jesus touch your life, you never have to be the same. No more pity parties. No more digging your own grave. No more excuses. No more, I can't. Because you can do all things through Christ. And you can run your race better in your older age. You can run your race better in your sickness than you could have before. There's no retiring. There's no slowing down with the Lord. Physically, yes, we might slow down. But spiritually, we run faster at the end until one day we are in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And it's like, has anything changed? I've always been this close with you, Lord. I died? Wow. Well, this is great. Because we are so close, like Barb, who I mentioned. I don't know, with Barb, when she fell asleep, I don't know that she woke up knowing there was a difference. As close as I saw she was to the Lord, except she might go, where's Troy? He didn't make it. That'd be the only difference. She was there. She seemed to be able to see things I couldn't. So, your family and all those around you, because of suffering, will be able to see things they never could have seen before. Your suffering, hardships, disadvantages, they give an opportunity for you to overcome them, to live well despite them. And when that happens, I guarantee you, God is glorified. Not everyone who suffers here on earth will be healed physically. You guys know that. And it doesn't happen just because, well, I had an infirmity, I gave my life to the Lord, and now he should heal me. It just doesn't happen that way. But then let me bring some reality to the whole situation. All healing is temporary anyway. Those who are healed of something, they still die of something. Sometimes the same thing returns. Sometimes they die of something else. But all healing here on this earth is just temporary. Because eventually, we're supposed to be somewhere else with the Lord. See, the promise of God is not that we will live here forever, but that we will live with Him forever, forever. Where there is no sickness, there is no death, there are no thieves who break in and steal and destroy. A young boy was asked this questioning, you know, to kind of cause him to question his own faith. He was asked, if God loves you so much, young lad, why doesn't he give you everything you want? And probably with more wisdom than this boy knew he had, the young boy said, well, if God gave me everything I wanted here, I'd never want to go to heaven. So true. There's some depth to the answer, really. God has set in our hearts a desire to be there. And suffering, the little snooze alarm that goes off every now and then, is that which keeps turning our focus. God, I can't wait till we're there. So why is there suffering in the world? I know I don't have all the answers to your whys. Why me? Why now? Why this situation? God knows. Suffering is the result of sin in the world. There's sin in the world, and because of that, bad things happen. Evil people get ahead, and all those things happen. But it's not necessarily you suffer because you have done something wrong. It causes us to look forward to heaven. So, suffering prepares us for heaven. It gives us credibility when we minister to others because we ourselves have suffered. It builds our faith and the faith of others who are watching. It gives us a mission, does it not? And it provokes questions. And we who are supposed to have answers to questions need them to have questions. We just have to learn how to answer those questions. We have a mission, guys. And suffering is going to be a part of it, but only in this life. Our life that is to come, we need to start storing our treasures there. Living for that which is to come. Because this is but a vapor, and it passes so quickly. Praise God. Praise God. Because it is so exciting to consider this is not heaven. This is not my home. My home's coming. And I'm going to live here with joy and I'm going to run my race. And one day I'll be welcomed in heaven before Jesus.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have